Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it's Denver, and you are listening to Let's Have a Drink with Denver Sean. I am Denver Sean, and this is the first new episode of 2021.
Guess who's back in the house?
I, for one, hope that everyone has had an excellent start to the new year. Yeah, I took a little break. After ending the last episode with Char, I decided that I wanted to take a hiatus.
Get your fat ass back here.
Not for any serious reason, but I really wanted to start the year on my own terms. And outside of my usual work for LoveBeScott.com, I wanted to take a moment and get my shit together.
Get your shit together! Get it all together and put it in a backpack! All your shit, so it's together.
We had the rednecks and the racists trying to take over the Capitol.
The revolution!
And I really didn't want to talk about that. Then we got a new president, Joe Biden, and a new vice president, Kamala Harris. And the inauguration happened. And, you know, there was so much uncertainty around that my nerves were bad. So Jonte and I, we took a COVID-proof trip to Palm Springs for a few days at the top of the year just to kind of regroup. But here we are. So back to the usual format. And for those of you joining me for the very first time, welcome. I think since we're in a new year, this will be the first episode of season 2.
Let's get live.
Okay, so I tweeted about this drink a couple of weeks ago randomly, and it got the craziest amount of responses. Some people were curious, some tried to suggest that it was nasty. But mostly people just really wanted the recipe. It's not my recipe.
You stole it!
But I got this cute matcha starter kit from the good folks over at Matcha Bar, and they have a recipe for a matcha margarita.
What white nonsense is this?
My last matcha cocktail I wanted to share with you guys, then the video hit a bit of a snag, and it never made it up. But this is an excellent replacement. To sum it up, it is a blend of matcha tea, tequila, and a little jalapeno, lime juice. It's quick. It's easy. It's got a jolt of energy. Gives you a buzz.
Is it crack?
So you can check out the Drink with Denver Instagram for the recipe and enjoy. Okay, let me put this on Do Not Disturb. Jonte and I, we redid our living room also over the break, and I just sent my mom photos for the first time, and so she decided to text me back now, of all times. All right. So for the first time in like a decade, I had changed my Twitter name. I've had the biggest struggle with my name and social media branding. Denver on every damn near social media network is taken. And I wanted for years to just be Denver. But then because it's a city and terrible for SEO, I was like, okay, just Denver. Like both of them, just Denver. But again, there are a lot of City of Denver enthusiasts out there. So I guess before I was Media Denver, I didn't really care about branding or consistency, so I threw an underscore in my Twitter name, just Denver, and a dot in my Instagram name. And I actually hate underscores. Like, I hate them. But I like periods.
What's wrong with you?
But you can't do periods on Twitter, and I didn't want another underscore, so Instagram, they were just always different. Fast forward to being Media Denver. I've always had this aversion to going by Denver Sean because it's the name that my dad's side of the family always called me growing up. Because my dad and I, we have the same first and last.
There's two of them!
And while my last name is out there, if you've listened to the last couple shows of The B. Scott Show before the interviews, then you know that. And it's not really a secret. I just always wanted some separation between my legal name and my public persona. And over the last few years, Denver Sean kind of grew on me. So there we are. Denver Sean. That is me. There are apparently some Sean's in the city of Denver because that username is taken on at least one of the major social media networks. So I settled for Denver Sean without the vowels, DNVRSN. So now you can follow me on Twitter, now at DNVRSN. If you have PlayStation, you can add me with the same name. You can watch me stream on Twitch with the same name. I'm folding drinkwithdenver.com into dnvrsn.com, denvershawn.com, so you will be able to find me there soon, I promise. The only issue that I have now is Instagram. Just my luck. There's someone in fucking Malaysia with the Instagram name.
Are you fucking killing me?
Where did you hear that?
Fucking killing me.
And I messaged him like a month ago. No response. And I just recently got tired of being ignored, and I messaged his girlfriend offering to buy the name from him, and she told me that it's not for sale.
This girl is the nastiest skank bitch I've ever met. Do not trust her. She is a fugly.
So, and I offered him a ton of money too, like especially factoring in that conversion rate, but there are trademarks pending, so hopefully if that all goes through, I can hit up IG and just make them give it to me. Again, I am now on everything except for Instagram at DNVRSN. Instagram is at just.denver. Still. Moving on, since my last episode, I got the opportunity to chat with my new girls, Kate and Allison, for their podcast called TV Watch Repeat. And we talked all things The Hills. If you know me, you know that the show is basically the genesis of the Denver that you know and love today. So it was really fun to share some personal stories and some thoughts on the show's legacy and a lot more. So go check that out. Again, the show is called TV Watch Repeat. And the podcast as a whole just goes in depth on classic TV shows. So I'm going to have them stop by this show for a chat soon. I'm just trying to figure out when and how and what. I know it's kind of old now, but I did sit through the entire Ashanti versus Keisha Cole versus, and I, for one, am so glad that it's over. I got tired of hearing about it. It got pushed back twice. Keisha Cole pushed it back like 2 more hours. And, you know, I thought Keisha Cole was going to wash Ashanti. But once Ashanti kind of pulled those features out during the second half, she definitely redeemed herself.
No, you're not.
I don't know who won, but I guess I have to give it to Ashanti for not wasting my time being late. And that's really the only thing right now sitting here today that I remember about the whole thing. And Keisha's attitude. Oh, and the fact that I almost took myself out the game with an oil diffuser and a face mask.
I'm a dumbass.
And I was gonna get into that story, but for the sake of time, because I'm still very much committed to giving you guys short shows, I want to go ahead and tell you guys something else.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Let me put my serious voice on and take a sip before I get into this. All right. So, fun fact, my serious voice is the same as my other voice. So I debated about whether or not I was going to talk about this, but I decided that it's bigger than me. I got vaccinated for COVID-19.
You what?
As for how, mind your business. The thing about this whole priority thing, it's complete bullshit. We see it. The vaccine is disproportionately affecting black and brown communities, but somehow rich white people are the ones getting vaccinated first. If priority was really about priority, they would be prioritizing getting black and brown people vaccinated.
and they aren't.
Yes, vaccinate healthcare professionals and essential workers and old people, but they could be vaccinating those people by zip codes in areas that are the hardest hit, and they're not. All I wanna say is that they don't really care about us. I decided that I'm not letting a government prioritize my health based on how it sees fit. If I have the opportunity to protect myself and my loved ones, I'm taking it.
I know that's right.
And I took it, and I got vaccinated. There's been a lot of really fucked up misinformation about the vaccine circulating social media, and there's been lots of scary headlines and selective data. And, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous getting the first shot.
Just put it in me already!
My mom runs clinical trials basically for a living. She worked for Pfizer for several years, and she actually did not want me to get the vaccine. Actually, I haven't even told her that I got vaccinated yet. You guys are hearing it first.
Don't you say a motherfucking word, okay? This is different.
What?
As for why she didn't want me to get vaccinated, her stance is basically that there hasn't been enough long-term data on long-term side effects. Are there any expected? No. But the data doesn't exist because you can't fast forward time. And I understand that. But I also understand that I feel like I need to protect myself against COVID right now because anything can happen with time. If you're worried about this vaccine causing cancer, guess what? Damn near anything and everything causes cancer. Hell, think about how many people we've lost to cancer with no real rhyme or reason. And COVID is taking people out.
That's why your mama dead. Dead as hell.
In real time. We don't understand the disease fully. New complications are popping up all the time. But what we do understand, however, is how the vaccine works in the body. There is nothing about how this vaccine functions to be concerned about. And I'm sure you're wondering what the side effects were. There were none.
Zero.
There was a little tenderness at the injection site because a needle was jammed into my muscles, but that was it. And it's been weeks now and nothing. And I'm sharing this not to really lecture anyone, and I'm not really interested in hearing any opposition, but I just wanted to let you guys know who are iffy or kind of on the fence about it that I got it and I'm fine. And if you're listening to these words, then my second dose is in and everything is good. Jonte got his too, and he had zero side effects too. And, you know, I would encourage you to get it when you get the opportunity and to not be afraid of it.
Coming from a head doctor, I guess she would know.
Also, when you see Jonte and I out and about in these streets over the next few months trying to get back to some normal life, if you do have real questions or want to talk to me about it one-on-one, feel free to hit me up. Again, I don't really want to hear any opposition, so that will probably get ignored. But genuine, valid questions about the vaccine, which one, why I got that one, etc., etc., let me know. Whew, I feel better. I feel like I just came out again. Have you guys been paying attention to the whole AMC, GME, Robinhood situation? It's a little late now, but if you've learned anything this past week, know that our economy is one big casino. Also, invest in Dogecoin. I dumped a ton of money in Dogecoin, and I have friends who personally made $40,000 in one day, so I would advise buying some Dogecoin and forgetting about it for a couple years. I don't know if I ever told this story on this podcast, but back when I was working at Apple in like 2012, I had a coworker trying to explain Bitcoin to me and wanted me to buy like $5 worth. I think they were like 5 cents, maybe like 4 or 5 cents at the time. And I said no, because it was too much work and I wasn't really trying to do all that. And this was before like apps and linked bank accounts and things that make it easy. It was much more of a process back then. Anyway, now each Bitcoin that was worth 5 cents is now worth like $30,000 a piece. And I think about that. I think about that a lot. But, you know, nothing you can do about the past. People are saying get some Dogecoin now. And if you think I'm about to make the same mistake twice, think again. Because, no, not gonna happen. We'll see what happens in the next 3 to 5 years. Hopefully, these... I'm gonna tell you how much I had. Hopefully, these Dogecoins that I have in my possession will be worth something.
Now, why
touch me.
One thing I have been doing during this hiatus is watching TV. Now, in what might be the most controversial out of all of the shows that I watch, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina returned for a final season on Netflix, and I am sad to see it go.
I know what you're gonna say, but somehow I'm responsible for what's happening.
I saw on my timeline that a lot of people didn't really care for the last season, but I loved it. What I liked about it was that each episode was self-contained. Almost kind of like an anthology. They didn't give you like 1,000 different plot lines to follow for 8 episodes and then spend the last episode trying to cram it and make everything make sense. And I appreciated that. Speaking of Netflix, Bonding is also back for another season. And if you have been listening to the show from the early episodes, then you know how much I love and adore Bonding as short form content. Each episode is no more than like 20 minutes, and they do an incredible job of pushing the narrative forward. Unlike Insecure, who spends like 30 minutes of nothing, doing nothing, and talking about nothing, only for someone to pop up in a doorway or a gas station or a restaurant in the last 30 seconds.
Hey!
And that's no shade to Insecure. I like Insecure. They announced their final season is coming. I will be watching, but let's just call it like it is. The show don't really move like that. But back to Bonding, I finished the entire season of Bonding in like a day, and the best thing about it was the introduction of Mistress Mira. And it was so fire for the head dominatrix to be a black woman, and she acted her ass off.
Power is a responsibility, not a privilege, May. Your collar is off. Feed him when you're ready to accept that.
If you've never heard of Bonding and you are in the mood for a quick, quirky comedy, I highly recommend it. It's beautifully shot and well-written and funny, and if you are a Modern Family, Will and Grace, like witty comedy person who doesn't mind a little dick, then this is definitely for you. Let's dive right into Housewives Land. I don't even know which one I want to start with. You know what? Let's start with The Real Housewives of Atlanta, because there isn't really much to talk about. You know, it's really unfortunate that it just so happens that the year they decide to do a calm, mostly positive season with the ladies, it happens to be the same time the ladies of Potomac decided to turn shit the fuck up, because this season of RHOA is really dull in comparison. And I get it, like, we're in a pandemic and they're working with what they have, but I think there's a fundamental issue. Now, walk with me. If you take away the normal opportunities for the girls to interact and film and whatever in between the all-cast events, then there's really no opportunity for anything new to happen. And because of the pandemic and safety precautions, everything is prearranged and screened, and you can't really have people around. And 90% of the filming is happening with people's families or like pre-screened cast members that they get along with and shit like that. And the thing that makes Housewives work, aside from like production assisted storylines, is the rare moment that someone will do or say something or interact with someone, and it's a spontaneous thing that becomes a big deal. Right. So throughout the course of filming, if you reduce the opportunity for spontaneity, then you're left with what we have. And that's ladies who have exhausted their friendships and their feuds, and they're just good with where they are. Like Portia and Kenya, they fought so much over so much shit that neither of them really care to engage. Right. And then Cindy and Mike, we've seen, and Candy and Todd, they're fine. And the new girls really aren't rooted in any of the relationships, and they don't bring a lot. No shade, but kind of shady, but not really. So as much as they try to make moments, we don't care. Even if Nene were back, we really wouldn't care what she has going on either. If they didn't have Strippergate coming, this season would have been as bland as we've seen thus far. And, you know, and that's mostly by design. Like I can't even fault the girls, because that's kind of what production was going for. Oh, one thing I did want to touch on, and I don't even think it matters now, but a few episodes ago, there was an issue with Kenya suggesting that Portia kept protesting and going to jail for the cameras. There is some truth to that. Do you remember during the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion where Giselle revealed that Monique's husband, Chris, brought up the trainer situation, and Giselle said because he brought it up on camera, she assumed that that situation was part of Monique and Chris's personal story?
After that, I thought it was part of their personal story. So that's when I'm like, okay, well, they're talking about the trainer. They're talking about all of this as part of their personal story. So yeah, I said, it's part of their story.
Every housewife across every season has a personal story. It's set. It's decided. It's the focus of their filming when they're not doing group stuff. That is a fact. Production and the housewives know what's going to be captured before they even start filming. Portia's personal story this season was decided. They did not want another season of her crying over Dennis. Portia fighting for social justice was part of her story arc. Hell, it's even her fucking tagline this season.
I may be social distancing, but I'm here for social justice.
And part of that being her story arc, if you don't go down and protest and get some camera footage and get arrested and all that, then you really don't have much to talk about, do you? And this isn't a slight towards Portia at all, because I fully believe that she believes in everything that she's doing, and it's a great cause. But let's not forget, we're making a TV show. Do you think Lauren, Portia's sister, just decided to throw a party to honor Portia's work for shits and giggles? Do you think she got all those vendors and sponsors and banners and shit made out of her own pocket? Lauren isn't even part of the show, but somehow she got enough camera time and enough relevancy to plan this big surprise that had all of the other ladies who just so happened to be part of the show there and mic'd up and lit during a pandemic. She coordinated all that herself out of the goodness of her heart. No, you know who did? Production. Why? Because they needed an event in a controlled environment to get all of the ladies together to further their storylines. It wasn't this surprise idea that Lauren had in front of the cameras that just so happened to be there filming Lauren, again, who's not part of the show, when she came up with the idea. They had this entire social justice party on the Portia's personal story production calendar. And I say all that to say that there is a big part of Portia's push for justice that is driven by the show. And it's still boring. Moving on. We have finished The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And the reunion is coming up next week. And I have to hand it to these girls. For their first season, they really delivered. And shout out to Jen Shaw. And she's a complete nut. But we need a complete nut. Those girls need a complete nut so that they can walk around feeling like they are better than everyone else. And I am looking at you, Meredith Marks, with your head perpetually cocked to the side, always trying to disengage.
You guys can engage in this. I'm not engaging.
Okay, listen, Jen, this is where...
No one tells me who to be friends with.
I'm not telling you...
Girl, you are on a Housewives franchise. There is no disengaging from the drama. Bitch, you're paid to make the drama, so sit there and be in the drama. Shit. What I will say is that while Jen has issues, her issues are not 100% her fault. And I know that sounds crazy, but I do think that there is a slight sliver of validity to how Jen feels. I don't think that she acts appropriately, and I don't think that she's good at accepting responsibility for her part. But the thing is, as much as she doesn't own her part is never the only part. And we'll see if they touch on that on the reunion. It is what it is. The thing I like about Salt Lake City is that the show is only strong because of the cast as a whole. Like, I don't really care for them individually, but together it makes for really interesting TV, except for Mary. I think Mary's a complete waste, but I get that her name came up so much in the drama that they had to, like, show her to us, and then she's black, so they couldn't be like, oh, we're not going to have a black housewife. Oh, and then I read that they started filming with one production company, and then something happened, so they had to switch, but with that switch came Mary, and so that's why she wasn't really filmed like the rest of the girls, but there was a whole different company. I don't know the ins and outs, but we don't need Mary. Mary can go. She does not have to come back. And, like, are we supposed to ignore the fact that she was in her closet the entire season? How can we? Bling Empire. Bling Empire on Netflix is gold. Pure gold. I am determined to meet Anna Shay. I don't know how or when or where, but I feel like we would get along very well. Same with Kim Lee, who I have dubbed Kylie, because she looks like Kylie Jenner. And I don't know if it's natural or if she just told her surgeon she wanted to look like that, but I cannot not see Kylie Jenner when I look at Kim Lee. So Kim Lee is Kylie from now on. I was going to talk about Dogecoin and cryptocurrency here, but I kind of already talked about it, so I'm not going to do it again. If you have an iPhone and an Apple Watch and you feel like installing a public beta, the new iOS 14.5 beta makes unlocking your iPhone while wearing a mask a lot easier. With the new beta, if your phone detects a mask instead of quickly asking you for your passcode like it does now, with the 14.5 beta, your phone will recognize that you are wearing an Apple Watch and unlock itself if your face is obscured by a mask. It works the exact same way unlocking your MacBook with your Apple Watch does now. And thank God they're doing something. Rumor has it, the iPhone 13 will have both Face ID and a new form of Touch ID, which would make sense considering masks have become a staple of our global society. And I think even after the pandemic, masks, they won't be required, but people will have them on hand for, you know, the next public health crisis or flu season or whatever. Like masks, I think we've reached a point where people are just going to have them and wear them when they want to in the future. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I'm glad that Apple is doing something because, baby, let me tell you, trying to unlock your iPhone and not wear your mask and I try to keep it on but then don't want to pull it down because you're in public but you want to unlock your phone and then you're trying to pay Face ID and it's just, they need to do something. So I'm glad that they're trying to work it out because I know I'm not the only one with this internal struggle. Jeff Bezos stepped down as CEO of Amazon and some other rich white man is going to be taking his spot in Q3. But Bezos didn't quit. He's just going to become like an executive board member, which means that he'll still get to make decisions, but he won't have to be the face of the company. Why now? Who knows? But my bet is that there's some type of legal trouble on the horizon, or the new administration is about to come in and crack down on some illegal shit or something. And same for Facebook. Like, I think the new administration is about to take on these big tech monopolies and people are just getting out and getting out of the way. They don't want to be involved. There is something that I want to do here. For the download in this, I guess, second season of Let's Have a Drink with Denver Sean is I want to open up this segment for questions. The majority of my non-thirst messages that I get from strangers on the internet are all tech related. So it's either somebody they're looking to get themselves or someone a MacBook and don't know which one to get, or they want to start video editing and they don't know which program or app to use, or they want to know which brand of charger I prefer, or what to do with like the app privacy labels that are coming out, or, you know, or, well, what the fuck is Hive, right? All that. So, if you have a tech-related question or you just want to talk about a specific thing, DM the @drinkwithdenver socials and I will do my best to respond to them during the show. And they can be wide-ranging. They can be personal. They can be technical. They can be, you know, how do you this? What do you think about that? So on and so forth. I like to think of it as charity. Just kidding. Cardi B is back with Up. And that video is crazy. The song is an undeniable banger, but that's because it just sounds like some undeniable bangers we've heard. The knock is really similar, to me, to City Girls, Jobs, and Drake's Nonstop. But that's okay. There's some conversation on the internet about some guy who, I guess, used the same phrase for a hook that came out around the same time Cardi was making her song. And, you know, to that, I just say, who gives a fuck? No, Cardi did not steal his song. It's a popular phrase somewhere, not here. And we're in the hip-hop streaming era, so a repetitive hook is basic song function at this point. I like it. It does what it needs to do. It's up, and it is stuck in my head. So for that, I say mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, bitch! Let's go.
Black Coffee dropped an album this week, and it features a song by my girl, Cassie. And if you're unfamiliar, Black Coffee is a South African DJ producer who makes house music. Think like the original South African version of Kachinata. So Black Coffee and Cassie, they did a bunch of songs together, and rumor has it that Rihanna actually heard one and that they basically like, or she basically stole it for the album that she's working on. It's called like Love You For Life or For Life or something like that. So we'll see how it materializes, but if Rihanna doesn't use it, I think she should give it back because the snippet that I heard on the internet sounds really good. The way this matcha is carrying this tequila straight into my bloodstream. This goes without saying, but Jasmine Sullivan delivered, per usual, a really solid R&B album. What that woman can do with her voice is unreal. And I will say that she has a very specific brand of R&B that you really just kind of have to be in the mood for, at least for me. I can't be like, oh, I'm about to get ready. Let me throw on some Jasmine Sullivan. I kind of have to sit with Jasmine. She does not make multitasking-friendly records at all. Anyway, I just updated my Denver's List playlist on Apple Music with a bunch of what I'm listening to right now. So you can check that out at DNVRSN. I got that username there. Thank God. Oh, and speaking of on that playlist, I just added a dance banger. I would be remiss if I didn't at least talk about it. It's called Getting Late by an artist named Tyla. And I've been really into upbeat dance, new energy, let's get this year started kind of music. So I added a bunch of that to this playlist. So check out, what did I just say? Getting Late by Tyla. There's another song. There's a bunch of them. So just check it out. And that, ladies and gentlemen and my non-binary people, brings me to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. I am excited for 2021. I am excited to keep this show evolving. You know, even with the hiatus, I'm seeing these listener numbers grow. So I thank you. And, you know, now that I've been vaccinated, I can get these guests rolling in and, you know, get that back on the schedule. So thank you again for your support. And yeah, until next time.